The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I put the pills in the people. The people did not want the pills in them.
No, Tina, that's not right. That's not right. It's more like,
I got the pills in the bathroom, but I put them in the people.
You're right. It's got to be like,
I put the pills in the hoagie.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. That's fair. That's fair.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 54, for the week of January 12th, 2015. I am Big Plate of Cookies, David T. Cole, and I'm here with Stage Stairs Mishap, Sarah D. Bunting.
Oh no, my boobs!
Teleprompter Illiterate, Tara Ariano.
And we honor... go back to the top.
Oh. And Bushiest Beaver, Joe Reed.
Should say busiest.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back, Joe Reed.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
We're very excited to welcome Joe Reed to our Golden Globes discussion. But first, we need to let you know that the phrase that doesn't pay is still in play. We're now entering, I believe, week three.
Correct.
With this bad boy. So keep an ear out and please submit your guesses on the episode thread. Yep. Once you've listened to the entire episode. So, Globes. Guys.
Globes.
What do we think?
Well, this is definitely Joe's arena. So let's let Joe start.
Well, let's talk about the hosting first.
Yeah.
How did we feel Amy and Tina did in their last go round as
Didn't
hosts?
It seem like they had less airtime this time around?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't look at anything scientifically or anything, but I would think that was pretty significantly down in airtime from the previous two.
Yeah. Someone was, maybe Alan Sepinwall, was tweeting that they always kind of disappear from the middle of the show.
Yeah.
The hosts do, but there was disappearing. And then it was like, I got the distinct feeling there were bits that got dumped because
they were running long.
They were running long.
Yeah. They definitely had more bits last year for sure.
Yeah. Well, and in this one, it sort of concentrated on just the Margaret Cho interstitials, which seemed like, I think maybe because certain other things may have gotten cut, that probably concentrated that stuff into seeming more of like a through line than it was.
And I think their monologue might have been a little longer this year. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
I didn't mind.
Yeah,
I loved
that could be. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that their monologue has been reliably a killer, you know, and this time probably more so than anything else with the Cosby stuff, which I thought was, like, you knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. Like, at least I did. I was just sort of like, you know, TikTok waiting for the Cosby.
I love the word hoagie. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
If you can work hoagie into a joke, even if it's a rape joke, it's, you know, it's not a bad piece of
business. I'm going to say especially if it's a rape joke.
I
enjoyed it. I mean, it is going to be weird without them, because it seems like that really brought the Globes back for everybody else who wasn't, you know, say, like Joe, in it for the actual award show.
Right.
You know, it was like in it as entertainment. I can't remember the Golden Globes being interesting at all before they were hosting.
Well, and it's funny because, like, they never used to have a Golden Globes host. Like, before Ricky Gervais was brought on to host, like, the Golden Globes were just, you know, they still are, actually, like, a fairly well-oiled machine where, like, they pack a lot of actual trophy giving into what ultimately they were out the door by 11:03.
Yeah. Like, it is a much better run show, it seems like.
Yeah.
Than the Oscars, maybe because there is TV stuff. And like, none of the categories is one of those like garbage time things where you're like, time to pee. Like, well, oh, documentary shorts, who cares?
Almost everything is either an actor's award or an award given to like a director or a writer, somebody who, like, if you have some familiarity with television, you know who Jill Soloway is, you know who Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu is, even if you've never seen these people. Like, if you are, you know, more than just an incredibly casual viewer, you know who these people are.
Right.
And, like, and I mean, I'll stick up for the Oscars too, but, like, it is, like, this is the award show for people who are not, like, diehards in a way that, like, the Oscars are for, like, optimally for movie obsessives. And
actually,
movie
I don't,
fans.
I would say the opposite.
Oh, you think
I think
so?
This is for, not for diehards, but I think this is more, like, well, you know, I don't think it's taken as seriously.
Well,
necessarily.
Yeah.
But I also, and it doesn't take itself as seriously, but I think that this is much more like not trying to be for everyone.
Well, yes.
So
in terms
it is
of
more for everyone. I don't know.
Yes,
maybe
absolutely.
That's just me.
No, that's definitely true. I just feel like you have fewer things to complain about on the level of what do I care who these short film directors are.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And also having the breaking out drama and versus best comedy or musical in the movie categories does make it, I think, a little bit more populist just because there's more choices to look at. Although, maybe
you
not.
Still end up with big eyes, so whenever.
Well, yeah.
And I love Amy Adams, but, like, that is a crap movie. And
her speech was also really terrible. I was really bummed out by it because I've always liked her before last night, and then her speech was like, oh, don't be that. As
well,
I tweeted,
funny.
I think she went full Hathaway, and it was not pleasant to behold.
Well, actually, I was going to say it's sort of a notch different than Hathaway, because when she got up there and she's like, I had nothing prepared, and I was like, of course you didn't. And that's when I sort of thought Hathaway there, too. It's like, don't pretend. It's better if you don't pretend. But then the speech
was so... It's
also
better if you have something prepared, as James Poniewozik put it, like, I'm... Have something prepared.
Yeah.
You have
like
a 1 in 5 chance of being on the
either,
stage. Don't go up
she
looking
had a
like a
contingency
dink.
Plan. Sorry, what's that, Tara?
I said you have a 1 in 5 chance of getting called up on stage, so don't be the person who looks like a fake, humble bragging dink.
Right. Well, but then when her speech was so rambly, Amy Adams' speech was so rambly that ultimately I was just like, oh, wait, she didn't have anything prepared. Like, she's really winging it. Like,
or she was like, I'm definitely, like, she had something prepared, but... She's like, I'm definitely not winning, so she drank more than she would have if she thought she had a shot. Because that was some listen.
Yeah.
You guys, I just, my parents are the best. I mean.
And it's too bad because I really did think Emily Blunt was going to win. And I was looking forward to an Emily Blunt speech because she's so charming. And like,
agreed.
I like her so much. Yeah.
What did we think of the Kristen Wiig hater bit?
I love
think
them.
That was funny?
Yes.
I
Me
love
too.
Them. I thought it was such a clear comparison to the thing she did with Will Ferrell a few years ago that was, I'd say, better and funnier than... I hated having to compare those two in that moment, but it really sort of called for it. But, I mean, if you've seen the Skeleton Twins, they have such fantastic chemistry together. Like, I love them so much.
Was that their audition, do you think?
Oh, maybe. That's an interesting one.
I would be perfectly happy with that. I mean...
Me too.
Bill Hader's in the middle of that bit. His, what? Like, I will never, will never not be funny to me. He's so commits.
Yeah.
And they're just hilarious. I think they're great.
I also thought Katie Holmes was really good. That she's so good. I know. I thought that was really good.
Katie Holmes should be a
nice
TV
comeback.
Star. Like, Katie Holmes should have a television series. Like, that's where she should be. And...
You are not a crackpot. Yeah. Totally with you.
Yeah. I agree.
She needs a hot oil, though.
What did you guys all think of... Like, in terms of, like, on the TV side, the actual winners being... I read BuzzFeed had it, I think, fairly soon thereafter. They were kind of on it. That all of the acting winners in TV were all first-time winners. And the two series that won were The Affair and Transparent, which are both, like, incredibly new. And this is sort of the Golden Globes thing, is they're the ones who will jump on... you know, the train the quickest, and they will give something to a series that is incredibly new, if only because it's new sometimes. It sometimes starts to seem like an affect with them.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of a corrective to the Emmys in a way that I like.
Yeah, someone I retweeted last night said that in some ways, the the Golden Globes are like a bunch of old people proving they've heard of things, yes, which is what I kind totally. Of thought about Jane the Virgin. Like, as soon as I saw she was nominated, I said to Dave, she's going to win.
Yep.
And she did, because they love an ingenue at the Golden Globes. Like, yep. Jennifer Garner has won that for Alias. I believe Claire Danes won it for My So-Called Life. America she Ferrara did. Won it the first year for Ugly Betty. Like, that's totally yeah. the category where...
Carrie Russell for Felicity.
Yeah, yep. where a Gina Rodriguez is going to win. She was great. I mean, I love that show. I don't think that she's the greatest thing about it.
Right. But I kind Rogelio, of like but... the fringe benefit of that tendency for them is we got Transparent one and Jeffrey Tambor one. So, for like, sure. You know, you get a lot of benefit with that in a way that...
And they're definitely, I think they're definitely trying to show, like, we're watching networks like Honorable Woman was Sundance, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. We're yeah. watching that. We're like, we're on the, like, Netflix, you know, streaming originals
yep.
train. And we care about trans and gay issues because of The Normal Heart and Downton Abbey. Just kidding. Thomas is happy, I guess. Yeah. No, actually, no, Thomas is never happy.
He's never happy.
But then you have some wins in there that are really like, okay, a couple of these to show you get it.
Yeah.
Great. Transparent. Right. Zero problem with that.
Yeah.
Spacey, humble bragging about how he knows Stanley Kramer.
Oh my God.
Stanley Kramer was really grateful for some compliment Kevin Spacey paid him. Like, oh my God,
I
grandpa.
Know. That was so terrible, and it just kept going.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But that, I was not as upset about that as I was by The Affair, because that show is some horseshit. I've written extensively on the site about what horseshit it is, yet I can't stop watching it. So
I just assumed that that award was like, well, we should have given you this for Luther, but we didn't. WAPS, here you go.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with her winning with Ruth Wilson.
Yeah,
she's,
the show,
she's
I don't know
good.
What's
it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I was surprised by her. I was surprised by The Affair winning overall. But again, it's one of those things like, if this is the bathwater that I'll take with the baby to upend a cliche.
I have a theory about why The Affair won. Because yeah. foreigners yes. love having affairs. They're all...
Dave's got it.
I yep. saw that tweet and I agree.
Yeah. It was fun to live tweet. I'll say that. I did enjoy myself that aspect of it last night.
The Globes are really fun to live tweet. A lot more fun, I think, than the Oscars.
Can we talk about that McDonald's ad for a moment? That oh aired during the Golden Globes? McDonald's saves the world.
Yeah,
McDonald's is in your heart.
Yeah, people were tweeting about it during football, and I had no idea yeah. what it was. And then it yeah. came up. I was like, oh, this. Ew. Yeah. Yeah, it was really bad.
This is sort of a fun side effect for me of live tweeting stuff with Tara, like award shows with Tara, is that some of the same commercials that I've been bitching about during baseball and football all year will yep. cycle up, and I'm like, girl, I fucking told you. And she's like, this is terrible. I'm like, I know, don't become a sports fan, you have to sit through it.
Yeah, it was brutal. A nice break from Sony Open in Hawaii that's been in very heavy rotation here. Apparently there's a golf tournament called the Sony Open coming up. It's in Hawaii, so that's the smooth jazz
on the McDonald's part. I always kind of figured that the signage was corporately directed. Yeah. But there was a lot of God stuff on those signs.
No,
so
that's
thinking...
their pieces of flair. They can, like, personalize it however they want
Don't
to.
Call
like,
God a piece of flair, Joe. You're going to get in trouble. But, yeah, that ad, that was stinky.
I mean, yep. Nothing could make me stop eating Egg McMuffins, but don't mention 9/11 in your ads, please. Please. I feel gross enough as it is.
Where were you when the towers fell and you were eating a Big Mac? Ask me,
well, the thing that I found most offensive.
Two towers, two all beef patties.
You know what the Big Mac is? It's a tower of deliciousness. It's got an extra bun in there to make it extra tall.
Well, the one where they were like praying for the miners, and then they transitioned to like, we did it. And it's like, did you, McRib? Like,
it really was. Like, it was a Stephen Colbert moment outside of the Colbert Report.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry about that.
No, it's appropriate.
Back to the Globes.
Although, while we're on the ad tip, those SNL ads that Dave had
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It was like they had
Settle
a
Settle down, SNL.
Yeah,
it was very much like the 1984 IBM ad.
Yes,
like,
hey, dun, yeah.
dun,
totally.
Dun, 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 dun. It's coming.
It kind of seemed
my
like
my favorite sort of just amongst us, it's funnier tweet of the night was like Tara's last one that she's like, it's like Matt and Danny wrote it. And I was like,
nice.
Thank you.
Good call. I feel like before we maybe duck out of this, the speeches by Jeffrey Tambor and Matt Bomer, I thought in particular, were really, really good and like really touching and honestly like felt genuine and felt like correctives to bad speeches from past award shows where like Jeffrey Tambor knows how to like give a speech that's respectful and appreciative to the trans community that like Jared Leto maybe stumbled on last year.
Maybe.
And like,
oh God. Yeah. Oh.
And Matt Bomer, I tweeted, I was
sure
like,
he was stumbling over his braid maybe. Instead.
Yeah. Well, like Matt Bomer's speech, I tweeted, I was just like, wait a second. It's possible to talk about your scene partner in a gay love story and not make cracks about butt fucking. Because like that was very sort of like nice and unforced and genuine where he's just like, Mark Ruffalo, you're a great scene partner. Instead of like Michael Douglas being like, hey, Matt Damon, remember when like I was in you? Like,
oh yeah, true. That's such a good point. Such a good point. Yeah. Remember when I was in you? Yikes.
Yes. The two of them almost counteracted how gross Kevin Spacey's speech was.
And how weird
and I won't
Michael
say
Keaton's
specifically
speech.
Why it's oh, Kevin Michael Spacey Keaton. That I'm calling out, but we all know why.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too, yeah.
Like, how
and,
drunk was Michael
Dan was
Keaton?
Like, well, we know Keaton's not drunk. I'm like, do we know that?
Oh, is he sober 20 years or something?
Yeah, pretty good long time. And actually, his episode of Marc Maron was really good. They just sort of, like, I think they both kind of forgot that mics were on. Or, like, that they were rolling and were just, like, talking about that process a little bit. It was,
yeah, it was good.
I thought... Yeah. Really good.
So he
and
was,
I don't usually like okay. that show, but
because that speech that had good. That seemed like he was drunk to me.
Did his, well, did his son just, die?
I, well, this is the was thing. It left was, a lot of questions.
I thought they
marks.
Cut to his son in the.
Okay, I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Right? Did his son die?
His
while
son
he
came
was
back
talking?
During
like,
the.
Like I don't.
Book. Yeah, I mean, I will cut Michael Keaton a lot of slack for sort of like I will anybody who's that sort of like longtime veteran actor who never really gets awards for. What he does, like, you know, all the stuff that Michael Keaton was good at was stuff that, like, they're not going to give an award to Beetlejuice, even though it's a brilliant movie.
God damn it.
I know, but, like, so, like, I'll, whatever, like...
Nice fucking model.
I mean, I have no desire to see Birdman, but I've watched Beetlejuice a minimum of 15 times in my life.
Yeah, so just pretend it's a makeup award for that, and we're all
yeah,
fine.
All right.
Yeah.
I accept that.
He's too old for this. That's a 30.
What did we think of Wes Anderson's foreign name dropping acceptance
oh,
speech?
I was tugging at my collar pretty insistently.
I mean, it he's someone who I'm on the record as saying I used to love him, and every subsequent movie he's made after The Royal Tenenbaums has made me love him like a degree of magnitude less. But uh-huh. even that, I was like, that's not funny. Like, the joke is foreign
that
people
have
funny
names.
Names. That's not yeah. clever, and also it's kind of.
And then he did
gauche.
An eye roll when somebody else made a joke about him.
Yeah, and it
he
could,
did.
It
yeah.
could have been funny. It could have been funny,
yeah.
but it was delivered poorly, and he wasn't like he kind of like pulled off the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
at the end, and like didn't have the courage of his convictions with it. I got to meet him one time, and he's actually like. Funny and not awkward or like weird like he's in the Amex commercials or whatever. He's just like a guy.
Yeah.
And his good. I'm not sure if it's his wife, his lady partner friend person, super nice and cool also. Like
yeah.
I think that lets me sort of like that's the mint that gets me through the coffee breath of his like
yeah.
twee presentation sometimes.
Yeah.
But I sort of felt like anything he does is gonna just keep polarizing. No matter what,
yeah.
so
that's a beautiful.
I just decided
analogy.
Not
that was,
to pay attention
that was
to it.
Great. That was poetry.
You're both really appreciating that from here.
Yeah, yeah. It's coffee breath, present. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if coffee breath is that twee, but let's not.
Yeah. Well,
let's not look at it too closely.
Do we know who's hosting next year? Have they?
I don't think they've said.
That's not anything.
No,
yet.
They haven't said. Okay. And I'm sure they're going to try and throw a bucket of money at Amy and Tina to get them to sign another contract, but.
Right. I think after you publicly say you're never gonna well, although
yeah.
Ricky Gervais did, so who knows? But
yeah.
I feel like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler have somewhat more integrity than he does.
Yeah.
All right.
And
so,
maybe they'll bump him up to the Oscars. Who knows?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Closing thoughts. Favorite win. Favorite loss.
Yeah, you guys have almost certainly seen more of the movies at least than we have. So how did you feel about those wins?
I thought Julianne Moore was great in Still Alice, and I'm glad she's going to end up winning. Even though it's going to be sort of seem like a career award, it's a pretty good freaking career. So, like, that's good, too.
Yeah.
I was a little sad that Jake Gyllenhaal didn't win for Nightcrawler. I have a feeling he's not going to. I think
he's just on the precipice of getting a nomination for the Oscars.
I think Keaton is maybe going to coast to this.
I think.
But I was a little surprised by, I don't know, Redmayne.
That was Redmayne's charming. He's a charming
guy. He's good
in
that movie, but it was such a piece of, I don't know, whatever. It's total Oscar bait. So I was a little sad, but I also love like watching the Gyllenhaals like be brothers and sister together. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. I think it's fun. And they were like just in each other's ear and gossiping and like she won and he didn't. And it's normal. And I don't know. I'd like to hang out with them sometime. Mm-hmm. I'm not a crackpot.
Yeah. It would not be hard. I've seen her in Brooklyn many times.
I actually stepped on her foot one time and she was very nice about it.
Yeah. However, she didn't mention her husband, so I don't know. Maybe we should start the shot clock on them getting divorced.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And I loved Boyhood so much that, you know, if it's going to be the thing that keeps on winning things, that's fine with me. I also loved Selma, so if that is the surprise spoiler, I will also love that. I did not love The Imitation Game, so we can keep that from winning awards.
Yeah, I think that one's like everyone kind of assumed that was going to be the front runner before it came out, and now everyone's like, you know, maybe not.
Yeah. I will be very interested to see what happens on Thursday with the Oscar nominations. I will tell you that.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything
my most wonderful
outrageous
day of the year.
Okay. Joe's mess.
Seriously.
Joe's mess, yeah.
Then I'm very much like Marge Simpson with the mop with that one. It's just like, now it's Marge's time to shine.
Yep.
He doesn't like you. He's grumpy at me. He doesn't like fun. That's plain to see. Time to ask, will they paint this?
Probably.
It's a pilot for a series based on Philip K. Dick's Hugo Award-winning 1962 alternative history story, The Man in the High Castle, which, as Sarah said, is set 20 years after the Nazis won World War II. And the U.S. is now divided between Japan and Germany, and tensions between the two are mounting in the western half of the country. I don't know which half that is, because it doesn't say.
I would guess Japan.
The question, as always, is, will Dave hate this? And I am going to say, based on my 20 years of knowing Dave, he will not hate this because one of Dave's favorite weird corners of history is counter history. And he's read a whole bunch of books in this genre, and I believe he does not have a problem with Philip K. Dick, and I think this is the kind of thing that would be right.
Dick!
I mean, I can't top that, so I'm going to say this is something that Dave will figure out how to use Amazon streaming video in order to watch.
arguing against it?
I say that he will probably hit. I mean, this is the problem. Tara comes up with these things and is married to Dave, like really, versus just, you know, work married,
sure,
like I am. And then I have to argue the opposite, even though I usually agree with her assessment. But I do think there is grounds for Dave totally hating this. Namely that I think counter history is one thing to like write about and another thing to do effectively on television, viz. Revolution or Resurrection or Reincarnation or whatever that show was, now canceled on NBC, where they partitioned the country to four parts after some pulse or something like that.
Right.
I think it's just hard to do well. The cast does not look super promising.
What's the cast?
Cop
was there cast
anticipates
mentioned?
Hating it.
Yeah, what is the cast?
I don't know.
Okay.
Some people who were in some stuff, like some not stuff. Even Vikings, it was like.
Oh, no.
Not even Vikings. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was something like Vikings, but lesser, right. Like Picts.
Yeah. All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
All
I
right.
don't know what you're going to say. I'm pretty sure you're not going to.
All right. So The Man
me,
in the High Castle.
Have you read this story, by the way?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you. I read the little synopsis of it, and Tara's right. I do like myself some what-if history. I actually, with a friend, started to develop a pitch for a show called Alt, which was basically a Sliding Doors style counter history show.
Hey, Dave, was the main character named Thomas Alt?
Yes.
Could he be?
No, John it was G. Carol Alt, and you were trying to get her attached.
Anyway, so that is up my alley. And did I read this? I actually bought it yesterday after reading synopsis, and that's what I was doing all night after, because Tara was sick up until a few hours ago, and we didn't think we'd be recording this tonight, so I decided to stay up and read more of this book. And yeah, it's a mixed bag. It's the premise is interesting, but it's sort of like background to other stuff that's going on. Germany is, and Japan have sort of split the globe. Germany is a more advanced country. They are actually colonizing like Mars or something. They sent a manned mission to Mars at this point. It's like in the 60s. And they've also done stuff like they blocked in the Strait of Gibraltar and drained half the Mediterranean for more farmland. That's kind of cool.
I can't imagine your first question wasn't, what of Hawaii?
not mentioned. Well, actually, Pearl Harbor was like a total rout in the book. They destroyed the whole American fleet in the book, and that's why Japan was able to take over. So Japan moved into the western half of the United States, so they control sort of everything west of the Rockies, and Germany has the East Coast, and in the middle, there's sort of like this, they call it the
Bransonia,
the Rocky Mountain States or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of like the closest thing to what America used to be, but really even not quite. Canada is freer than America in this book. And let me tell you, Bob Hope escapes to Canada to do his show there because he can tell better jokes. But the story actually like revolves around these little bit players in San Francisco, and the story's only starting to gel.
Is San Francisco full of hobos in this version?
Yeah, it is. America? It really is. Ooh. Yeah, San Francisco sounds like it's had
like
some
a push
hard times
so far.
Yeah, so it hasn't quite. It's only now, the story's only now percolating back up into like this German chancellor sort of civil war that's happening. There's all these contenders for the throne because Hitler is still alive, but he's out of the picture because he has syphilis. And
I was totally going to be like, oh, we got VD.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no one says VD anymore. So I didn't say
and then somebody took over and he just died. And all this. Anyway, so it's an interesting story, but I'm halfway in. It's only now sort of like starting to all coalesce, like all these separate stories.
Right.
And a
Is
lot
it a
of
short story
the,
or a novel?
No, it's a novel.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the stories are more about culture than about like intrigue or anything like that. Like there's a Japanese official that's very prim and proper. There's this antiques dealer that owns basically like an Americana store in the face of Americana disappearing forever.
Awesome.
And his life intersects with this Japanese guy. And there's this Jewish guy also that is a jewelry maker and also might be a spy or something. I'm not quite sure.
Plus, I would say adaptations of his work have been a real mixed bag over the years.
Oh, yeah. And I think Absolutely. The better ones are ones that have strayed off from his source material. Like Blade Runner is nothing like
right.
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Like it's basically a new story. So also I read that this was almost a sci-fi project.
Oh,
so we can be thankful at least for that small miracle.
Yeah.
So given all things like Amazon pilots are a real mixed bag, you know, because like, let's not forget like that terrible Chris Carter one from last year.
Well, let's not, because we're going to be talking about that later.
What was it called?
The After.
And, you know, so they have some really terrible shows and they have some good shows.
And they pick up a lot of pilots that you're like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like we're all supposed to vote on like Transparent, Mozart in the Jungle, whatever. And then they just
do whatever.
Pick them all up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to say this has the potential to be interesting in the same way that Manhattan is interesting to me. Like it's that kind of size story set in a larger consequence world. So I'm going to say Dave will not hate this.
All right.
Congratulations, Tara.
Thanks.
We can still be married. Yeah. All right, it's time for Bunting versus Bunting.
Miss Bunting is downstairs.
What? So every time we entertain, we must invite this tin pot Rosa Luxemburg.
Is she? A German communist who was shot and thrown in the canal. We wouldn't wish that on Miss Bunting.
I'm so glad.
All right. So, in episode 2 of Downton Abbey this year, Sarah Bunting, village school teacher,
yep,
comes to Downton Abbey.
Extraordinaire.
Yes.
Pinko.
Comes to the Abbey at the behest of
Mrs. Patmore.
Yes. To teach Daisy some maths.
Yep.
as they would say there, in order to get her ready to actually fucking take over that farm after bellyaching about this incredible burden she has to this large inheritance.
This farm that she inherited like 18 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So she's getting her on track to manage her own business. That's pretty much the throughput for the storyline this week about Sarah Bunting. So my question is this. Would Sarah D. Bunting teach a stupid girl math?
No.
I'll handle this one.
Well, let me say,
what is annoying is Daisy.
Well, I'm going to say this about Sarah D. Bunting. Does not suffer fools gladly. And although she has a generous heart, there are limits. And somebody like Daisy would definitely test those limits. Tara, what do you think?
I agree. I also think, but however, Sarah Bunting dovetails with our Sarah D. Bunting when she gets a last second invitation to dinner and is like, no. Again, having an awareness of where she is and is not wanted. However, I really enjoyed everything everyone said about Sarah Bunting in this episode because it was all hilarious, as documented in my post.
I will say, too, pursuant to your discussion last week, which I listened to, that Sarah would make a fuss not at dinner, but later outside.
Yes.
It's not in the car, but it's next to the car that she's talking, like, real talk to Branson. So, like, that's maybe a little closer to where you guys were talking about than last week.
I was glad that Sarah non-D Bunting pointed out that actually Daisy does maths all the time. She does arithmetic all the time.
Right.
Cooking.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. You don't need to take a class.
Oh, like, that's very much like,
this is applied mathematics. You don't, it's arithmetic. You're good.
Yeah.
You don't need to take calculus.
That's like the teacher who points that out and like, numbers are all around you.
Yeah. And also because
algebra. Fuck off.
Because she's in the kitchen with all those thirds of this and two thirds of that and half of this, she's really good with fractions, which is really going to help her a lot in the pre-decimalization Britain.
True.
Yeah. All right. So we agree that this week, Sarah D. Bunting, perhaps not as Sarah Bunting-y as she was last week. Can we agree?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Has Miss Bunting gone?
All right. It's time to go around the dial. Start with Mr. Reed.
All right, I come here to talk about Parenthood. Parenthood is in its final season. It has three episodes left. I know it has three episodes left because its commercials are very, very, very like solemn. And three episodes left of
The family falls 10,000 feet.
And this was the last one was just like, the decisions they make will determine this family's fate.
I'm and then like, nothing happened.
They're still just like hanging out in NorCal, right? Like it's just sort of just, but like this is sort of my problem. I very much like Parenthood as a show, and I think it is going out fairly strong. The promotion of it, and also just the thing where before the season, there were like Parenthood will confront everybody in the Braverman family will confront the death of a loved one. So everybody's like, all right, they're killing Zeke. As of post time, Zeke is still ticking. Zeke is still breathing. Even after last week's episode, where it really did seem like they were going to pull the plug on that one, so to speak.
Well, all of his options after his heart attack and then subsequent other heart attack or incident or whatever were like, well,
it's all pretty
you
grim.
Can choose between these terrible options or just decide to go into hospice, basically.
Right. And I'm sure that like this is all going to be covered in the last three episodes, but because they've sort of they front loaded that expectation into this season, it's gotten me to a pretty like uncomfortable point where I'm just like, is he still alive? And like, I shouldn't be thinking these thoughts. And now I'm also thinking of like, are they going to fool us? And like, they think we're killing Zeke, but like, what's his name? Lauren Graham's son is going to die in a car accident. Or
that's
like,
what I think it is. Does what's his nuts? Mr. Kristen Bell still have his motorcycle?
Oh yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking that too.
Because it's like he's going to donor cycle it, and then Zeke needs a heart transplant. Great news, we have a match. Well, less good news.
And again, they've really sort of gotten us thinking these like down these weird sort of winding paths when like they're probably not going to do anything, like, you know what I mean? It's just it's really gotten us off of track with Parenthood a little bit, so that's my annoyance.
I feel like there's no way they can't kill Zeke at this point because they've built it up so much, and furthermore I would also say he's gonna die right before Amber has her baby and it'll be a boy and she's gonna name him Zeke. That's my prediction.
Of course. But the other thing I was thinking
of... I hope she spells it properly. That bugs the living shit out of me.
But if
E-K-E.
It's really annoying to type, yeah. too. My fingers do not want to type it that way.
Yeah. And also, if they had actually had Zeke die at the beginning of the season, it would have actually been sort of a less focused on story where you could watch the family sort of deal with that aftermath at length.
Yeah, totally.
And sort of see who does sort of organically step up as the patriarch of the family. It would probably be Adam, but like we could talk about that. And like, I don't know. I feel like that's less an interesting story than just sort of like watching, you know, looking at your watch and being like, you know, TikTok Zeke, like right. time to go.
I want to talk about the American Heroes channel. And this is a channel that I discovered recently. I think it might be a rebrand. I forgot to check, but my heart says this used to be called the Military Channel.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So when you rebrand from the Military Channel, and that's not a bad name for what this for what it was. Like, this is basically the channel that is what History Channel used to be like 15 years ago, like Hitler up the wazoo. You know, it's just like
the building
D-Day.
Of the Panzer Division.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And it's like, yeah, you want to find out about Alexander? We got him. You know, it's like all that kind of stuff. But when they changed the name to American Heroes Channel, I think you got to like take a second look at programming such as Secrets of the Bible. Not a lot of Americans involved in that one. They have UFO hunting shows. They have like Edwardian England, blah, blah. It's so much stuff.
It
that
does take Hitler out of the equation, doesn't it, when you name your channel American Heroes?
Well,
channel.
You can have
you can have the American heroes that fought Hitler.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah. But it's really stretching the concept when you're talking about, you know, the Gnostic Gospels in Secrets of the Bible or something like.
Hey, St. Thomas would have hated Hitler.
So I thought that was interesting and a little bit funny, that American Heroes channel. I mean, good for you, America, is what I'm saying. You finally, you know, are claiming your historical manifest destiny throughout time and space.
I assume the idea is that over time it gradually will transition to do more shows where it's like American Heroes might mean like Medgar Evers or someone, but for now
like
it's
Chicago
like...
Fire reruns. That's what I'm guessing.
Like in the same way
Major Dad reruns from noon till night. I don't want it.
Like in the same way the History Channel is. History happens everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's why Axemen is a show.
But
like,
while we're on this subject, I have to bring up for our Canadian friends, there is a channel on the Canadian cable package that you can get that's called the Aboriginal People's Television Network, APTN. I had to remember what the acronym was. And they will show movies where you're like, okay, who is 115th Cherokee?
It's Val Kilmer.
Managed to like count to be on this channel.
Why is the Aboriginal channel showing The Saint? Oh, I see. Right.
You got a lot of wind talkers.
Yep.
And then there's a lot of like, oh yeah, I guess Keanu Reeves is kind of an Aboriginal.
It's like when Johnny Depp tried to do The Brave and he's like, no really, guys. And it's
That brief like stint on SVU. Yeah. With Adam Beach. Like, we hate these episodes. Like, well,
you got
Maloney is not a Sioux.
It's just all Adam Beach guest starring episodes from, like, all of television. It's not even, like, in the context of one show. It's just, like, one week you get SVU, the next week you get Big Love, and it just keeps on going through.
Oh, poor Adam Beach.
America. Sarah.
Speaking of American heroes, just kidding. I've come to... talk about Celebrity Apprentice and to bury it. Specifically, you know, Geraldo, I've defended you. I've reminded people about the groundbreaking work that you did on Willowbrook, revealing the horrendous state of state-run hospitals for the mentally ill and developmentally disabled.
But you don't have to, because he'll do it for you, and has, this season on Celebrity Apprentice.
I admired your brusque comments on the OJ verdict when everyone else was like, well, that's unfortunate. He's like, he got away with murder, fuck this. I've defended you. No mas. You're terrible. Take off those tinted spectacles and please stop talking. I'm done.
Yeah. He is terrible on that show. He is so obnoxious.
And yet I hear all of this and all I can think of is, I really got to catch up on Celebrity Apprentice.
He's making me like other people a lot more than I thought I would. So I guess that's a I don't even know what that is.
It's sort of the negative halo
bounce effect.
Yeah.
It's like, why am I thinking Kevin Jonas is so insightful? It's because he's all of his talking heads were talking shit about Geraldo. I was like, yeah, boy.
Nice. Him and Ian Ziering joining forces. Can we talk about how Ian Ziering is like the secret turned it around of this season of Celebrity Apprentice? Because I kind of don't hate him anymore.
I really do need to start watching now.
Yeah. No, you don't. We have this little thing called the Watch Skip Index.
Are the episodes still 2 hours long?
Yes, but it's because they're burning them off.
Oh, but it's not like one elimination takes 2 hours like it used to?
No. The first episode was 2 hours, and then the next night, for whatever reason, it was just two episodes in one block. But there were two eliminations in
that. And they're doing that again tonight.
It's a great show to just have on Hulu while I'm like cooking dinner or something like that. So maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, that's about right.
Sarah, since we're talking about reality shows, how was Common's
furniture
framework? I did a little write-up of it for the site, but the TLDR version is, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty good. There's not like the endless focus pull shots like during the elimination. Like the elimination, like here's the winner, here are the three bottom people, you won, you lost, like very brisk. I think the judging is pretty good. There's kind of a little more interpersonal drama and I don't know, people like dick measuring in the whatever waiting room.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, measure twice, cut once, Sarah.
Huh?
I said measure twice, cut once. It's not worth going back for.
Is there a furniture related goodbye slogan when they lose?
I missed this, but apparently it's you're finished in this competition.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I'm gonna give him that one.
That's pretty good.
All right.
No, it's all right. Give it a try.
Sorry. So thumbs up for framework.
Yes.
All right.
1.5 thumbs.
Tara.
Cut the other one off with the band.
Jigsaw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got it.
I just wanted to talk briefly about, as we record this, last night's TLC presentation of My Husband's Not Gay. They're gay.
Is that the full title?
My Husband's Not Gay?
Yeah.
They're gay?
Yeah.
No. It just stops after My Husband's Not Gay. This is a documentary that I swear is a, no pun intended, pun somewhat intended, backdoor pilot for us. Will probably be a series about these, what they're referring to as the SSA community in Salt Lake City, SSA standing for same-sex attraction. And the explanation is not gay, SSA, meaning you acknowledge that you have gay thoughts and interests, but you never, ever, ever act on them, and you marry a lady and have babies with her.
How is this different from bi-curious?
Lucky women.
Pomeranian, you know, like straight people do.
what was your question, Dave?
I said, how is it different from bi-curious?
Well, because they're Mormon, they can't actually be curious about it.
I see, okay.
Right.
However, they all hang out with each other and like go out for dinner and talk in front of their wives about like how hot the waiter is. It's extremely weird. The post that I did on it for the site is in their own words, which is just, if you've never read one before, it's just like straight up just quotes from the show. And I really could have just, I mean, if the whole episode were online, I would have just put it in the post and be like, ta-da, because it was like every line was fucking insane. So I recommend go read that post, and when TLC inevitably reruns this, please watch it because it's fucking crazy.
All right. Okie dokie, it is time for the canon. Joe has something for us this week. Take it away, Joe.
All right. My pick for the canon this time around has a little bit to do with timeliness, as the new year brought with it the entire series of Friends being made available to stream on Netflix and waste your time with in glorious ways.
Beautifully remastered for widescreen TVs, even.
What's that?
It's beautifully remastered for widescreen TVs.
Better.
Yeah.
Continue. Back in the 1.0 era of Extra Hot Great, we inducted both of my favorite episodes of Friends into the canon. The one with all the embryos, which is the one with the game. And the one where everyone finds out, which is actually the one where everyone finds out. So that's good.
About Chandler and Monica.
Yes, about Chandler and Monica. Thank you. Settling on a third best Friends episode was kind of an interesting challenge because I've never really thought that far down. I ended up going with season 6, episode 9, titled The One Where Ross Got High. So speaking of, we touched on it a second ago. The one, much like the one with all the embryos, the one where Ross got high does not have a great title because Ross getting high isn't what the episode's about. Ross doesn't even get high in the episode, but that's neither here nor there. The episode should really be titled "The One Where English," where Rachel makes the traditional English tribal, because that's what everybody remembers about it. The one, so that's the stuff that makes it canon worthy. Although I will say, watching the episode again, I was impressed with how all of the episode is strong, and it's not just the Rachel with the trifle stuff. So to start off, this is a Thanksgiving episode, which is good news, because Friends has a very good track record, I think, with Thanksgiving episodes. In this one, Monica is somewhat uncharacteristically laid back, going so far as to cede control of the dessert this year to Rachel, who has decided to try her hand at making a traditional English trifle, which, if you've never had it, is a delicious layered combination of fruit and pastry cream and ladyfingers, or sometimes cubed up angel food cake, which also works very well.
Or Twinkies.
Or Twinkies. See, there's lots of ways
trailer
to do this.
Trailer trifle.
Mm-hmm. Rachel found a new one, but there are lots of ways to do an English trifle.
It's the caravan trifle.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when Rachel explains her dish to Ross and Joey, they detect something is a bit amiss in her recipe.
It's a trifle. It's got all of these layers. First, there's a layer of ladyfingers, then a layer of jam, then custard, which I made from scratch. Then raspberries, more ladyfingers, then beef sautéed with peas and onions. More custard. And then bananas, and then I just put some whipped cream on top.
So Rachel thinks the beef is weird too, but hey, the English eat weird sounding food all the time, right? So it's fine. Turns out, as Joey and Ross, but not Rachel, discover, the pages of her cookbook were stuck together, and she's made half an English trifle and half a shepherd's pie. Stick a pin in that one for a second so we can dispense with the subplots, one of which is Joey and Ross trying to leave dinner early so they can go to a party with Joey's then roommate, Elle McPherson, and her dancer friends. Which is why they don't, Ross and Joey don't tell Rachel about her dessert mix-up, because they don't want her to have to start over and they have to wait even longer to leave. The other subplot is sort of a typical weird Phoebe thing. As Monica and Ross's parents arrive for dinner, and Phoebe pulls Rachel aside and tells her about the dream she had, where Jack Geller saved her from a burning building, and now she finds him incredibly sexy and alluring.
I just remembered. I had a dream about Mr. Geller last night. Really? Yeah, I dreamt that he saved me from a burning building, and he was so brave and so strong. And it's making me look at him totally differently. You know, I mean, he used to be just, you know, Jack Geller, Monica and Ross's dad. And now he's Jack Geller, dream hunk. I don't know. You know, to me, he'll always be Jack Geller. Walks in while you're changing.
So that one goes a couple of weird places. Phoebe has another dream about Jacques Cousteau and blah, blah, blah. But like the funny parts are when she's attracted to Jack. So the episode's main plot also involves Jack and Judy Geller, because Monica hasn't told them yet that she and Chandler are A, in a relationship, and B, now living together. This is because, as it turns out, Jack and Judy don't like Chandler very much, which has Chandler typically distressed and confused.
They don't like you. I'm sorry.
What? Why?
Maybe because you used to be aloof, or that you're really sarcastic, or that, you know, you joke around all the time, or that you take off your clothes and you throw them on the couch.
Is this why they don't like me, or why you don't like me?
The real reason the Gellers don't like Chandler actually comes from Ross, who tells them that one time when he and Chandler were in college, his parents caught him with pot smoke in his room, and he blamed it on a just-exited Chandler. So the Gellers have all this time thought Chandler was a bad seed. Cut to dessert, Ross and Joey don't want Rachel's feelings to get hurt, so they convince everybody else to pretend that her sautéed beef custard is delicious. The results are pretty hilarious, with Courtney Cox and Christina Pickles as Monica and Judy, respectively, doing some great face acting. Everybody manages to make an excuse to eat their dessert in another room, and Rachel finally catches to the fact that something might be amiss.
Okay, now what was that all about? Does it not taste good? Let me try it.
Oh, no, All gone. So good. Maybe Chandler has some left.
Rachel walks off.
It tastes like feet.
I like it.
Are you kidding? What's not to like? Custard? Good. Jam? Good. Meat? Good.
Finally, Monica and Chandler get Ross to confess to his parents that he was the one smoking pot in college, though not without some strong-arming on Monica's part.
Mom, Dad, Ross smoked pot in college.
What?
You are such a tattletale!
Mom, Dad, you remember that time you walked in my room and smelled marijuana?
Yes.
Well, I told you it was Chandler who was smoking the pot, but it was me. I'm sorry.
It was you? And Dad, you know that mailman that you got fired? Didn't steal your Playboys? Ross did.
Yeah, well, Hurricane Gloria didn't break the porch swing. Monica did.
Ross hasn't worked at the museum for a year.
Monica and Chandler are living together.
Ross married Rachel in Vegas and got divorced again.
The whole thing goes on with Phoebe confessing her new dream crush on Jacques Cousteau. Again, don't ask. Rachel realizing the pages of her cookbook were indeed stuck together. And Joey hollering that he wants to go. Judy Geller then stands up and sets everybody straight, including thanking Chandler for sticking with Ross through his drug problems and now taking on the responsibility of poor Monica. Perfectly condescending, as is Judy's MO, but at least Chandler is accepted by the family. Watching this episode again, it's even funnier than I had remembered, actually, with all of the major beats really capitalizing on a cast that was, at this point, I feel like, relatively around the peak of their comedy powers. The episode gets the most out of everybody being in the same room, which is always a benefit of holiday episodes like this. Even Phoebe's dumb dream lover subplot got some great line readings out of her, and it made me, the whole episode as a whole, made me crave an English trifle like you would not believe. also a fringe benefit. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys.
Oh, should I go first?
Dave, you would like to?
Sure. I'm not so crazy about the Phoebe subplot. To me, that's the weakest part of the episode. But I cannot believe that you didn't ask for Dave to clip Joey's "I wanna go," which is like one of Matt LeBlanc's best line readings of maybe the whole series. He's so
I was worried about it going a little long, but it's fantastic. Yeah,
he's my favorite in this episode. Also, the line where Rachel goes over to borrow rum or something, and then she says, "It's so hot in your apartment." He's like, "Is it make you want to walk around naked?" No, still not hot enough. Like, somehow he's so sweet that he gets away with that kind of thing.
Around in your underwear.
Walk I around believe. In your underwear. I'm sorry. And Ross, so hard up at this point in the series, and freaking out about going to this dancer dinner drink thing is so funny. And my favorite Monica, I think, is often like the second most useless character on the show, and I love Friends, as you know. But like, I would put Phoebe in the last spot and like Monica just above her usually, but she gets a lot of really good moments in this one. Listing off the reasons that her parents supposedly don't like Chandler was really funny, and also when Rachel tells her how to take a bite of her trifle, she's like, "No, you got to get all the layers. You missed
a pee."
And when
she puts the pee back on, so
good. Like, plink, right on top of the whipped cream. Yeah. So good. And especially her revving her tummy. Yeah. She gets a lot of great moments in this episode. So yeah, excellent. As soon as we started it up and I was like, "Oh, it's the one with the trifle," Dave was like, "Oh, good pick." And I think he is right. It is a good pick.
Thank you.
Definitely. I think for me, when somebody mentions Friends, and I'm not into Friends as much as Joe and Tara are, but whenever Friends is mentioned and Joey comes, this is the Joey moment. Like, this is my go-to Joey moment, is the meat good.
Yeah.
It's like seared in my brain, as it were, meat.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the Phoebe where Phoebe or asks Rachel what's in the trifles. There's beef in it, right? So like, oh, then I can't eat it. And there's this moment where you see her sort of like a little out of focus walking by the camera.
Yeah.
And there's this smile that like is perfect. Yeah. I really love that little moment a lot. It's like 2 second moment, but it really works. The Phoebe subplot, super hunk or whatever she says in that clip, cracks me up, referring to Ross's dad as a dreamy super hunk or something like that. Yeah. I didn't mind that subplot. I thought it was kind of okay. The again is another great scream.
Yeah. Courtney Cox delivers that kind of a line so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I forgot to say is that when Sarah mentioned the Gyllenhaals being brother and sister at the Golden Globes, this is also rarely do the Gellers get to be brother and sister like this, but we would never have happy endings pylons if not for friends pylons like this. So I loved, mm-hmm. I love that back and forth scene too.
Yep.
And it's funny that you're mentioning the Joey thing, because that was the one thing that I wanted to clip outside of what he had, because I just loved it so much.
I want to go!
So, yeah, it's not like one of those episodes that is on full throttle for the whole 22 minutes. But when it's on, it's really on. And it's just one of those classic Friends moments that sort of transcends the rest of the episode. And, you know, Joe said it perfectly. It's like, this is not the one where Ross gets high. This is the one with the trifle.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think it's a good pick for sure. Sarah?
Let me just dispense with the Phoebe subplot right now. My dad, you guys have seen my dad.
Yeah.
He's Wasp Elliot Gould. I don't need to be hearing that shit. Okay. So yeah, no. But I mean, it was pretty short. This episode, at first, I was like, oh my God. Like, it was so big. It was so broad. It was such an idiot plot. And there were some good line readings, like the, the pages are stuck together. And then without missing a beat, Chandler, like, gross. And it's like, there's so much in that little, like, twist. And I was like, all right, fine. Like, I don't tend to love the Friendses that deal with Monica and Chandler's relationship, because I think that can verge into schmaltz a little bit.
Yeah.
But the way everything, all the strands came together in this big bow in that last like pylon fight at the end, totally won me over. Really brilliant. Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch it sort of come back around, like come around the home stretch. I'm like, oh, I see, because it was so much setup.
Yeah.
And then it all totally paid off. And Phoebe talking about my famous Jewish dad secret twin, I'm going to let that go.
All right. So it's vote time, Tara.
There are like but a handful of Friends episodes that I would vote against for the canon, and this is not among them. So strong yay.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes too. I think it is just one of those quintessential, iconic Friends episodes and the best Joey moment in the series, I think. Sarah?
I don't tend to be in the bag for this show, but I am for this episode. Well done, writing team. It's a yes for me.
Yay! Woo! All right, Friends, Season 6, Episode 9, The One Where Ross Got High. You are hereby inducted into the extra hot great canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time for Winner and the Loser of the Week. Sarah has our winner.
I do. It's a scripted series on the CW. The CW is having a pretty good weekend, but before the Golden Globes breakout last night, they renewed their entire scripted slate over the weekend, including the 100 and
Flash,
various
flash,
vampire
flash.
Things and Flash. So, yeah.
I think
job,
Heart
Netflix.
Of Dixie is the one exception, but that probably doesn't count because it hasn't actually fully started its season yet. It had one weird, like, sneak episode in December,
yeah,
but it's coming back this week.
That was bizarre. And isn't that, didn't they say this was the last season?
Yeah.
So.
You may be right. I can't remember.
Sure.
Probably.
Let's start that rumor.
Yes.
Why not?
And Loser of the Week?
Well, I also have a winner. I had picked my loser earlier this week, but I have a sub winner. Whoever put together Wet Hot American Summer, because it's coming
yes.
to the Netflix show is actually happening. And
yeah.
they got the entire cast, including people that are probably pretty busy elsewhere, like Bradley Cooper.
And so the that's, Ant-Man?
I was just wondering that.
Yeah. So that's
when
really,
I was watching it was the Elephant Man.
Really fucking
weekend.
Impressive.
Did they get the can back?
Even he's really busy. That was H. John Benjamin, a.k.a. Bob Belcher, and Sterling Archer voicing the can that can suck its own dick. Also, just to name drop some people, that Anthony King is a friend of a friend, and he was writing on that show, so we should try and get him on, because that's awesome.
Yeah. My one worry with that, sorry, before you continue, is with the scheduling thing. I flashed to the Arrested Development.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
And my worry is that we're going to get stuff like that. Like, oh, such and such is like off at the lake now. And we're going to have a whole episode with only like these two people.
I honestly wouldn't mind. Like the movie is so sketch.
I was
going to
say the movie is sort of like
even,
that. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Even if each episode is only like four characters and two plots, like I think it would still be really funny. I'm super hopeful for it. But Loser of the Week. Chris Carter for two reasons. One, as previously mentioned, even though Amazon picked up his new sci-fi pilot, The After, this week they were like, just kidding, and picked it up.
The Never, definitely a strong choice.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed when I was watching the season two premiere of fucking Rags to Riches that Chris Carter, yes, that Chris Carter, was a producer on that show at the time. So pre-X-Files, that's what he was doing, writing about aliens probing people and bees and all the other bullshit. He was writing about fucking 1961 orphans.
Bees and all that other bullshit. The Chris Carter story.
Bees.
Yeah. So Chris Carter, Loser of the Week.
All right. Well, that brings up an interesting question. And
does it?
Yeah. I was just curious if you guys knew what time it was.
Time to renew game time?
It's time for games. Game time. Why doesn't Mulder ever see that this all fake? Why doesn't Mulder ever think that this is all fake?
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Do you get a Dave point if you answer that?
All right. This is the second game time of the season. Tara won the first one. Today we are going to play Broadcast to Kill from John Potts, who earns himself an extra credit. Good for an extra hot, great mini topic of his choosing in Broadcast to Kill. I will read you the nickname or alias of a character who is a killer or someone who kills. Well, there's a difference.
Okay.
Some do it, you know, some it might be an occupational.
Could be a manslaughter.
Right. Yes. Some people just do it as a hobby. Some people are
exactly.
More,
some people hobby are versus bees. Career.
Yeah.
Gotta put bread on the table.
Some people just lean on shelves and crush people.
All right. I'm going to read you the nickname or alias of a character who is a killer or someone who kills. You are going to tell me the show they are from for 2 points.
Okay.
If you need a hint, I will give you the character's real name.
Oh.
After which, the correct answer is worth 1 point, and we're going to stick in an asterisk there because sometimes their real name might not be their real name. You never quite know, or it's just another title or something like that. But you'll get additional information.
All right.
Everybody understand this?
Yes.
Pretty straightforward?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Picky to see who's going to go first.
We will start with valued guest.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
Oh,
every time.
We will start with Joe.
There we go.
Ah, there it is.
All right. So, we'll start with Joe. We got 36 questions, so everybody's going to get 12. Are we ready to play Broadcast to Kill?
I assume our order is Joe, Sarah, me?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Got it.
All right. Ready, Joe?
Yep.
All right. Your killer alias is the Bay Harbor Butcher.
The Bay Harbor Butcher.
What show's that from?
From Dexter.
That is correct. That was Dexter Morgan from Dexter. All right, Sarah.
Yep.
The Clairvoyant. The Clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant or Clairvoyant?
Clairvoyant.
Is that your drag name, Dave?
Clairvoyant?
Yep.
Okay. Clairvoyant. May I have a hint, please?
Sorry. I was just thinking about what that show would be like. The drag show with Clairvoyant. The real name, John Garrett. John Garrett.
John Garrett.
Yep.
I don't have any idea, so I'm going to say Benson.
Joe? Do you know?
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't quite
it's
get
Agents
it.
It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, it is. Of course
that's,
it's Agents of
yeah,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's,
yeah,
that's...
Keep being punished Bill for Paxton. Not watching that anymore.
Yeah, Bill Paxton. Yeah. All right, Tara.
Yeah.
The Port-to-Port Killer.
Hint.
Jonas Cobb or Andrew Davis?
Melrose Place.
Big hint there. Port to port killer. He kills navally. That's NCIS. All right. Back to Joe.
Yes.
The cigarette smoking man, also known as the cancer man, among others.
That would be the X-Files. Right,
the Buffalo Bills will never win as long as I'm alive.
Bastard.
Sarah.
Yes.
The Master. The Master.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Weren't they masters?
No, there's the Master.
Is there?
Yeah. Buffy, yeah.
Okay, so
he was the big bad in the first season.
I thought they were. I thought. Who were the ghoulish twin dudes?
Oh, there were like something else.
The gentleman.
That's what I was confusing it with. Okay, so the answer that they were looking for, but that is perfectly acceptable, was Doctor Who.
Yeah. Also applies.
Sarah's is better.
Yeah. All right. Tara.
Yeah.
The Kingslayer.
I'm going to go ahead and guess Game of Thrones.
That's good for 2 points. That is Sir Jaime Lannister.
Sure.
He of one hand in rapiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joe.
Yes.
Red John. Red John.
This is one of those CBS shows that I don't watch, but it's like
Sarah
the one
knows.
Thing about that show that I know.
Ooh.
Oh, it's one of two things, and I'm going to guess.
What are your not answering, but what are you thinking?
It's either Person of Interest or The Mentalist, and I think it's The Mentalist.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Nicely done. Way to think it through. Okay, for Sarah, put on your thinking cap. I don't know if you're going to know this one. The Chesapeake Ripper.
Oh, geez. Is this Hannibal?
Hannibal it is. Hannibal
Yay!
It is. All right, back to Tara. The Governor. The Governor.
The Governor or the Governor?
Governor.
Oh, fuck. Walking Dead.
That's good for 2 points.
I was like, Tekken?
All right, back to Joe.
Yes.
Sideshow Bob.
Really?
That would be The Simpsons.
Don't worry, we got some easy ones, we got some hard ones, and then we're going to end with some medium ones. And we're still in the easy bunch.
Nice.
As evidenced by Sarah's question, Heisenberg.
Breaking Bad.
Not complaining now, are you? Okay.
Nope.
And for Tara.
Yes.
Rounding out our easy selection, Michael Vaughn.
Alias.
Yes, kills for a living. All right, let's get them scores here at the end of our easy questions.
Very, very tight game. Sarah and I are tied with 6 each. Joe has 8.
All right, so we're going to go back to Joe, and everybody's going to get a couple hard, hard questions as determined by John Potts. Are you ready?
That's what she says. Yes.
Yes.
All right, this is for Joe. Black Rose Killer. The Black Rose Killer. Uh-huh.
I'm going to need a hint.
Yeah, you're going to. It's Charles Dexter or Brother Edward, and that's in quotes. So take that as you will.
Charles Dexter, Brother Edward.
Yeah.
Carnival?
That's a pretty good guess.
I like that guess.
And in fact, was Babylon 5.
Babylon 5. Yeah, I don't feel bad.
A lot of overlap there.
For Sarah,
the
Crash Test Dummy Killer.
Oh, fuck. I feel like I know this one, but I'm going to need a hint.
Actual name, Mark Chase. Mark Chase. Yeah.
Generico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't help. Madam Secretary.
Pushing Daisies.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Spinoff.
Here's your first hard question, Tara. Racetrack. Racetrack.
Well, I'm sure all of the superhero fans think I'm Ralph Wiggum stupid, but I'm going to go ahead and need a hint.
Margaret Edmondson.
Racetrack, and it's a lady.
Yep.
And she's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Racetrack.
Yep.
G.I. Joe?
That's a pretty good guess.
Is it a call sign.
Wait, Joe wants to guess. Go ahead, Joe.
It was a call sign.
Joe. It's Battlestar Galactica.
It is. Yep.
Yeah.
That's
correct. All right. Here's your second hard question, Joe. D. Gibbons. D. Gibbons.
Initial D or like
D? Initial. Yeah, like initial. First name is D. Could be Dylan. Could be Dave.
Could be Dave.
Could be Denise.
I'm gonna need Scooby-Doo. I'm gonna need a hint. God, it's just gonna be like Daryl Gibbons.
Dyson Frost. Dyson Frost. Real name Dyson Frost.
He sucks.
Dyson Frost.
Cool joke.
Chill out, everybody. I gotta answer this question. I'm just gonna wild guess like Arrow or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
Remember Flash Forward, guys?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. That piece of shit.
All right. Going to Sarah for number 17.
Yeah. Spread Eagle.
Edmund Wise.
Hint.
Thomas, and then possibly last name McGuire, but never actually for sure.
Sherlock.
Flash forwards, spiritual brother, I'm going to say, The Event.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, sure the was. Event.
Yep.
All right.
Me.
So, Tatara. Detective Delilah Ash. Oh, boy. Sorry.
Hint?
Yeah. Ashur Bad, Badiku.
Uh-huh.
These are hard ones.
Doctor Who.
Brimstone. Brimstone. Yep.
That's not a show. Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're back to the mediums, guys.
Good.
We're into
Yay.
The mediums now. So dispense with the hearts. Back to the medium. Here we go for Joe. The Dick and Jane Killer. The Dick and Jane Killer. Sounds like an equal opportunity maniac.
Hint, please.
Nate Haskell. Not from Leave It to Beaver. Although, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. Nope. CSI. Original Ray's CSI.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. That sounds vaguely familiar now.
For Sarah.
Is that the one with the diorama?
Yes, I think so. Oh, no, wait, that was the Dollhouse Killer.
Yeah, you're right, sorry.
Spoiler.
Okay.
For Sarah.
Chicago Foster Care Shooter.
Hey, it's all right there.
Yep.
All the information you need is
a lot
right
of hints.
There.
Yep.
Hint.
Derek Fosen. Remember Derek?
No. Chicago PD.
Ooh.
Fire?
Oh, really? Chicago Foster Care
now,
Killer.
If you'd
no one
said
even
the helicopter, I would have gotten it.
Yeah. Okay, Tara.
Yep.
One Lung.
One Lung?
Yep.
One Lung.
Yeah, One Lung.
Breathe, you can do this.
Ah.
Gotham.
That's Captain Earl McClung from Band of Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
All right, back to Joe. Actually, let's do a score break.
The scores have not changed.
Wow.
They're not
spacing.
All right. Joe.
Yes.
The Hearst Rapist.
Veronica Mars.
That's good for 2 points. For Sarah,
yep.
The 333 Killer.
Hint.
Drew Bedford.
General Hospital.
That's CSI New York.
Oh, gosh.
Same diff.
Yeah. Tara.
Yeah.
Drew Marshall.
Hint.
Renee Lenier.
SVU.
Flashpoint.
Joe might know this one.
It's familiar to me, but I don't have it.
It's True Blood.
Yeah, it is. True Blood. You're right.
All right, so here's Joe's. Ripper.
Buffy?
Good. For 2 points.
All right.
Correct. All right. For Sarah.
Yep.
Jim from IT. Jim
Sherlock.
From IT. That's good
nice.
For 2 points. Yeah. Jim is James Moriarty. Tara.
Yeah.
The Butcher of Galatep.
Of What?
The Butcher of Galitep.
Can you spell that, please?
Yeah. G-A-L-L-I-T-E-P. Galitep.
Dear.
Want a hint?
No.
Okay. Got a guess?
I'll just sit here in the dark.
Rev!
Rev?
Yeah.
What is that?
That show about a minister in England. Oh. Tom Hollander. I couldn't remember the name of the other father. Father Ted! That was the one I was trying to think of. I'm going to say Father Ted. That's my real answer.
Both terrible guesses.
I know they are.
That was Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Joe. All right, Joe.
Yes.
So wait a sec. Wait, hang on. So there's this light comedy called Rev about a priest.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of a ailing church?
Listen, he's in a rough part of town.
God save us all.
I was trying to think of something Irish because Galitep sounded Irish, but I couldn't remember Father Ted, so that's why I said Rev. I'm on like an hour's sleep right now.
Joe, this is Joe's turn, right?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay, Henry Gale. Henry Gale.
Nice.
Henry Gale is lost.
All right, 2 points.
Or that show on PBS with Judi Dench and her old husband.
Oh, my God. Okay, Sarah.
Yes.
Killer Bob.
Killer Bob. What? Twin Peaks.
2 points. Tara.
Yeah.
Commissioner Sleer.
Sleer?
Yeah, S-L-E-E-R.
Hint?
Supreme Commander or President Servalin. Servalan. Yep, you'll never get this in a trillion years.
Oh.
This should have been in the hard one, I think.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
Red Dwarf.
Well, that's not bad. It's British. It's, I think, sci-fi. It's called Blake's Seven. There was a video game based on Blake 7 I used to play when I was younger. That's all I can add to the...
Were there delicious frozen meals based on it?
Sure. Oh, all right. Joe?
Yes?
Miss Amphipolis. Nope, that's not how you say that. Amphipolis. Yeah, all right. That makes sense.
Maybe...
A-M-P-H-I-Polis.
Hint?
Yeah. The character's name, and this is going to be tough for you to get after this, is Xena.
Is it Xena Warrior Princess?
Yes, that's correct, and I was going to insist on the full title after that hint. Thank you.
Okay.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Chuck Finlay.
Chuck Finlay.
Yeah.
Hint.
All right. Chuck Finlay, his real name is Sam Axe. Sam Axe.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck Finlay, Sam Axe. Oh, my gosh. I know this, and I'm going to be really mad.
Can I give Sarah a hint?
I don't know.
That's up to you.
I bet it's a show that airs on the channel.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
She knows what it means.
Okay.
I bet you're right, but I don't know. Flashpoint.
Flashpoint. Nope. Do you know what it is, Tar?
It's Burn Notice,
it's
right?
Burn Notice, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Campbell. Bruce Campbell guy.
I was supposed to call him Bruce McCampbell. I don't know why. Because
you're also on 1 hour sleep, that's why.
That's true. I'm looking at the questions and they're sort of like fading in, they're coming in and out of focus. So this one's for Tara.
Yep.
Fruity Rudy.
Yeah. Offensive.
I mean, I want to say Drag Race. That's not my answer. Hint?
Sergeant Rudy Rudy Reyes.
Maybe Reyes?
Yeah.
R-E-Y-E-S?
Yeah, I'm sure. Both of you know I cannot read a word.
Chicago PD.
Generation Kill.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yep.
All right, last questions. Joe. Uh-oh.
Yes?
Alina Truffaut.
Alina?
Elena, yeah.
E-L-E-N-A?
Sure. Yeah.
Hint?
Sarah Walker.
Ooh. Brothers and sisters. I have no idea.
That's Chuck. That's from Chuck.
Sure.
All right, Sarah.
Yep.
Yours is Sarah Berkeley.
Sarah Berkeley. Hint. Yep.
Nina Myers.
Oh, 24.
That's good for 1 point. All right, final question for Tara.
Yeah.
Major Vaughn.
Major Vaughn.
Major Vaughn.
Hint.
Richard Sharp.
Boardwalk Empire?
Oh, right in there. Show Sharp with Sean Bean.
It's from the show Major Alias. Right.
The old Bean.
Major Alias, Dad Sharp, Rev Cam.
Let's hear that score.
I am in last place with 6 points. Finally. Sarah has 11, and Joe is our victor with 15 points.
Hooray! Yay! And Joe, I'm just going to wait because I know I got... I didn't. There we go! Well, that's not it. Where is it? There it is!
Joe!
All right, everybody. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We circumnavigated the Golden Globes and discussed the winners, losers, upsets, gimmies, and hosts of the Foreign Award Show. We debated whether or not Dave would hate Amazon's adaptation of the World War II alt history novel, The Man in the High Castle, and opined whether or not Sarah D. Bunting would be as generous with her time as Downton Sarah Bunting was this week. Then we went around the dial with stops at Parenthood, American Heroes Channel, Celebrity Apprentice, and...
My husband's not gay.
A last-minute change-up from my notes. Before Joe successfully pitched us the classic Friends episode, the one where Ross gets high, really known as the one with the trifle. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Joe was the winner of this week's Killer Game Time, putting a win in the guest column. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David Teagle, and on behalf of Tara Ariano,
I want to go!
Sarah D. Bunting.
I'd like to thank my agent.
And Joe Reed.
Tastes like feet.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
But finally, Tina, let's talk about television.
Oh, I'm being told that we are running out of time. Our apologies, television. You got bumped.
Oh, sorry.
Come back tomorrow.
Okay.
I want to go!